This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here. Glad that you're here. Glad you're part of this. We are the church today. Hey, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 12, we're going to get there and give you time to turn. We're going to be reading some scripture there. It's going to take me a minute to get there, but we're just glad that you're here. Good to see everybody today. And if you went to the Paul McCartney concert and you're here, you get extra kudos because you were out late, weren't you, with that? Or if you're stuck in the traffic, you might still be out there somewhere. But exciting times here in Winston-Salem. Hey, I'm going to do a travel thing because, you know, I love to travel and I love to tell you what our area. So as you're getting Mark 12 ready, I'm going to kind of go down a different path. Last week, I got a chance to go on the Virginia Creeper Trail. Has anybody done that here? Some of you guys done? All right, just like three of us. So you need to do this. If you've never been up there, Southwest Virginia, it's an old railroad line that they pulled the tracks out of, put a path there for bicycles. And what they do is you go up there and either take your own bike, you can rent them. It's a little town called Damascus, Virginia. And I was invited to go up there with a group of pastors and to go experience this and spend some time together. So what happens, we went to Damascus, I had to rent a bike, and they put you in a van, they load all the bicycles up on a trailer, take you to the top of the mountain, and then they let you go down this path. Now, it was 2.5 hours to go 17 miles, okay? And I never had to pedal more than 5 minutes. And it wasn't so steep that you had to use the brakes. It was just absolutely gorgeous. And it was a beautiful day. You're going through the green tunnel, you know what I'm talking about, where you're on the path. And it follows this river all the way down. And it's like you cross over these trestles, and you can see the river on both sides. People were out hiking. It was just you ever had just a wonderful experience? Like, this is something I've always wanted to do. I'm so glad I got to go. And there were a group of pastors. I didn't know any of them. I was the outsider. I went from North Carolina. They were all from Virginia. So they all knew each other. You ever been the odd person out? I think I'm always the odd person out, you know. So I was there with them, and they all knew each other, so I got a chance to talk with them and just get to hear what's going on in their life, the season of life they're in, and what God's doing in their churches. That was a lot of fun. And then on the way down, we stopped twice, and then you kind of get off the trail. We went down by the river, and they had devotional times because, as pastors, you need to add the spiritual aspect in there too. So they had that time. And the second time that we stopped and we're back up, we had a great time just sitting by the river and praying and just spending time with God. On the way up, again, they start talking because they know each other, and they're going, hey, there's this speaker. And they go, oh, I've heard that speaker. He's a great speaker. I love him. I've heard him here, and I've heard him here. And they go, and there was that illustration he did. I go, oh, yeah, I love that illustration. It was so good. I'll never forget that. And one guy goes, I stole it. I used it at other places. It's the only thing I've ever stolen from anybody. I don't give him credit, but I probably should. And then they go, yeah, it was really great. And they kept walking. Well, I don't know what they're talking about. You ever been outside of a conversation where everybody knows what they're talking about but you? So I said, tell me, what is this illustration? And they go, well, they kind of like were ready to get back on their bikes, and so they didn't really tell me too much then. So it was like, wait, you left me hanging. Don't you hate to be left hanging? So we got back, and I called the guy who led the thing. I go, tell me the illustration. I'm dying now. So I'm going to give the illustration to you. I'm going to steal it, and afterwards you can tell me if it was you thought it was a good illustration. But it basically was like this. You guys know this thing, right? Some of you guys have it now. It's a really simple thing. It's a water bottle, right? It's a water bottle. There's 50 billion of these sold in the U.S. every year. And if you're the average person, and none of you are average, you're all above average, but hopefully not in this area, we run through about 13 of these a month, okay? Now, it's a really simple device, right? It's so simple. It's plastic container with water in it. I mean, you knew this coming in. You're going, what? That's nothing big, right? It's really simple, plastic container, and it says purified drinking water, right? It's probably out of the tap, but it's been purified, okay? But the whole point is it's just a container with water in it. But we probably couldn't live without it. But that's what it is. It's a simple thing. And then this, you'll recognize, is a blue Solo cup. I did not bring a red Solo cup because the blue one's used for other things. This is actually a hefty cup, and this one, you can put water into it, right? It's really simple. It is a container, and you just take the water, and you put it in there, and it holds the water. I mean, you knew this coming in. This is so simple. But, I mean, here's another container. It's different, but it holds water. That's pretty cool. And then I have this one. I stole from our refrigerator. I didn't tell anybody I was grabbing it this morning. I'm sure they went to go look because I left first. This is a Brita filter thing, right? And what's the point of the Brita filter? Is you pour the water in, it becomes purified, it's in there, and this sits in our refrigerator. So this is cool water. I can't carry it with me, but at home it works. I mean, you know this, right? It's a container with water. Container with water. It's very, very simple. And that one goes there. And then you may or may not know this one. This is a Camelback. You guys have Camelbacks? You know what I'm talking about? It has a bladder inside. I mean, that's what they call it. And you put water in there, and then you wear it on your back. And then it has this thing, so you don't have to use your hands. So as you're hiking, which I like to do, I can drink water anytime. And it just is a container. I mean, it looks different than those, but it holds the water. I mean, you've seen the pattern now. You've got the container and you got the water. And I had another one I ordered from Amazon. I was really excited about this one because I went and searched Amazon, spent probably way too much time seeking it, and I found one that looked like it came from the time of Jesus. It was clay, and it was really nice, and I ordered it. And it was coming in on Thursday. I was so excited. I was going to show you this. And like, you know, this is a time of Jesus, and it holds water just like everything else. And so Amazon did the thing where they said it arrived. You know, how about it? It's here. There's the picture of it on your doorstep. I said, that's really cool. So I went home, and there it was sitting on my front porch. And I went to grab it. And they had put a baby rattle, it sounded like, inside of a clay jar of, you know, from the time of Jesus. And I opened it up, and instead of being one piece, there were 30 pieces. So I had to send it back to Amazon. I probably should have brought it this morning, just said, hey, here's another container, but it doesn't serve its purpose. But you get the idea, right? I mean, it's really, really simple. It's a container with water. Inside, water is necessary for life, right? That's why we drink it. But it's in a different container. The containers change, but the water stays the same. It's a very simple idea. Now, you could use this for anything. You could use it for your work, right? How things change, but some things can't change. Because the thing inside changes, it changes everything, but the outside, you can do it different ways, right? You could use this for anything. And this series, we're talking about We Are Bridges Church. We're talking about what does it mean to be a church? And so as we go through this, some of it's very simple, but it's the idea that sometimes the container has to change, but the inside can't change. I mean, you could say tradition is a container, right? And traditions change. We get used to doing church a certain way, and we get so focused on the container, we forget about what's inside. You could trace music that way. And some people look at music as the thing, but it's simply a container, right? It's what goes into the worship. If we were to worship at the time of Jesus, we might be shocked that it was simply chanting. They had songs at the time of Jesus, and very soon afterwards, we can read them in the book of Philippians. There's one in chapter 2 about Jesus, and it was repeated over and over, and they knew the song, but it was just a chant. We wouldn't recognize the music. It took until the 9th century where they actually started writing music down. It became tonal, and they began it at different voices. If you ever heard a Gregorian chant, you might go, that's not worship. But it is. Just the container changed. In the 11th century, they invented the organ, and the organ became the method of worship for hundreds of years, right? And then that's even changed many places. In the Reformation time, they began to write hymns. Some of those hymns are still around. They were great ways to worship, but they're just a container, right? That has changed in many places. Spirituals, gospel songs came in the 1800s. In the 1960s, the Jesus movement started out in California, and young people came to Christ, and they go, we want to hear music the way that we want to hear music. And so that's where the worship movement came, and that's why we play with drums and guitars and that kind of thing. But that's just a form, right? That may change in a few years, and maybe go back to chanting. Wouldn't that be interesting? But that's just a form. It's just a container. What about the building itself? Maybe we get focused on that sometimes, and we go, oh, that's the important thing. But no, the building's just a container. At the time of Jesus, they met in the temple courts, and they met in house to house. The temple courts were gone in 70 AD. The Romans destroyed it. So they began to meet house to house. This is a picture, I think we have one, of a house that was used for worship. And you see the courtyard there. People would just gather there, and they would worship there, and they would chant a hymn, and they would pray, and they would worship. and they would listen to the word of God. See, that's the key. It's not the form. It's not the container. It's what happens inside of there. People met in house churches for years and years. In 300 AD, Constantine became the emperor. He had a vision of winning a battle by painting a cross on his shields, and so his army won, and he became the emperor, and his mom, Helena, became a Christian, and he became a Christian. They began to build churches, and here's a picture of one that's in Constantinople, Istanbul today, 300 AD. That's what the church looked like then, the church building, the container. But it was the people that made the difference, right? That's what churches look like, church buildings. And then the medieval times, they began to build huge buildings, right? Huge buildings, and most of them were shaped by a cross. They had a rectangle going down the middle and off to the sides. Like this, we have a picture of Notre Dame, and this is before the fire, right? This was built during the medieval times, and people went there to worship. That's the style of building they had. That was the container. But what was happening inside of that? This was the form of churches not only in Western Europe, but also in Central and South America. As that group went over there and they began to build these huge cathedrals. But in Norway, they didn't build cathedrals like this. They built things like the Staves Church. This was a church on the inside. It's very, very small, but it lifted your eyes up to heaven. And so the ceilings were really high and you could see the architecture and people were fascinated with it. But it's just a container, right? In the Eastern Orthodox Church, they did a whole different kind of container for people to come and worship. This is a picture of a church outside of Ukraine, I believe we have, built in circles. And I've actually visited one there, and you walk into a room, there's no chairs. It's just a circle, and you walk in, and there they are reading the Word of God, and they're praying, and they're lifting up incense, and they're worshiping. Again, just a container. In 1743, there was a church built in Bath, North Carolina. It's the oldest surviving church in the state of North Carolina. And if you look at that, it's a rectangle with bricks and an A-frame. If you step outside this building and look at it with one eye half open, you'll see the same architecture, right? It's just a container, though. Just a container. I have a friend who is leading a church, and they meet in a dance studio. I got another friend who started a church in a bar in Asheville. Think about that. Where does that go with your theology? But he started it there because it's just a container. Now he's in an athletic facility over in Boone, and people are finding Jesus there, and the building's just a container. We met in the movie theater down the street. We met in the gym at North Forsyth Auditorium there. At Old Town, we met in a gym. We met in the media center for a while. All of those are just the container. Does that make sense? There's a lot of things that you could probably process in your mind and go, that's just the container, so what's the contents? If the container changes, if we're going to talk about the church, what are the contents that cannot change? What's the essence of what does it mean to be a church? That's what this series is about. And today I want to look at probably the most key thing of all. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. If you have your Bibles, follow along. Jesus is working with a group of religious leaders who are so obsessed with the container, they forget what the contents are. And so they're having this constant argument with Jesus about what's really important, what's really the most important thing. And this is their conversation, Mark chapter 12, 28 through 34. And it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another," heard the argument, "and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all? Which thing should I focus on? If I'm going to get this thing right and not focus on the container, what should I do?' Because here's the deal with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders. They were focused on law. 613 laws, they said. 613 laws that they had categorized by whether they were positive or negative. That if you look at the Pentateuch, they said there was the first five books have 613 laws. The Ten Commandments, there's 613 characters. I've never counted them. They did. And they said 248 of those laws are positives, like do this. And 365 of those laws were negatives. Don't do that. One for every day. And so the guy's going, let's just cut that away. What's the most important thing? And if you know this passage, you know what the most important thing is. But what he's asking is, what's in the container? What's the most important thing? If we have to get this nailed down to one thing, what is that thing? So Jesus goes back in the Old Testament to answer him. Next verse, he says this. Jesus answered, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you read it really quickly, you'll blow by it. He said to him, the Shema is the most important thing. Now, to the Jewish person, the Hebrew, they're going, I get it. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's when God gave through Moses the commandments, and he said, look, hear, O Israel. That's what the word Shema means, hear. Listen, pay attention. There's only one God. At the time that Deuteronomy was written, this was radical because everybody around them worshiped multiple gods. And God is saying to them, you can't be like that. Be focused. There's only one God. There's one God. Make sure you get that. Pass it on to your kids. The religious leaders would have said this every morning and every evening. They would have remembered it. To them, it's the contents. Don't forget this. So when we look at the church, we're going, what's the most important thing? Okay, we have to go back. What has God said from the very beginning? And then Jesus continues with what it says. Next verse. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now, if you've been in the church for a while, you know this, right? But sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we get so focused on the container, we forget the contents. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, when this was being quoted and being spoken for the first time, everybody around them would have said, I fear God. I fear God because if I do something wrong, he's going to punish me. I fear God because a drought may come. I may get sick. My family may fall apart. I'm going to obey him because I want to appease him. That's what everybody was thinking. And that thinking creeps into our life sometimes, doesn't it? Where we go, I've got to get it right, because if I get it right, then God will be happy with me. And if he's happy with me, my life is good. I mean, that's the way we think, right? And God's saying, no, let's focus on what's the contents. Love. Love me. That's what I really want from you. I don't want you to be so afraid of me you can't move. I don't want you to try to appease me. I don't want you to just obey because you're trying to get something good. I want you to love, and it's so simple. And he says, I want you to love me this way. I want you to love me with all your heart, which is our affections, our emotions. I want you to love me that way. I want you to love me with all your soul, which is our interior life. I want you to love me with all your mind, which is our thoughts. I want you to love me with all your strength, with your will and how you live. That's what's important to me. That's the contents. Like, you can have the most beautiful church, you can have the most incredible worship time with the music, but if we miss the love, we've missed the whole thing. It's like filling that bottle with muddy water. It's like putting poison in there, something you don't want to drink, you name it, and it's not right if we don't love. I hope that makes sense. It's so simple, but we forget this sometime. And the question is, do we really love God? Because that's a heart check, isn't it? Heart check. Jesus had this running argument with the scribes and the leaders, and they had focused so much on the container, forgot about the contents. He had to address that sometimes. In Matthew 15, he approached them. He says this, you hypocrites. This is what he said about them. You're hypocrites. Now, in their culture, that was a rude thing to say. I think it's a rude thing to say in our culture, isn't it? I mean, if you were to say to me, you're a hypocrite, I probably would get upset at you. And you would probably be right, because I think there's times I do what this word means, which means to wear a mask. It means to wear a mask. So they got it from the culture of the day. When they did a drama, the people would wear a mask and they'd become a different character, and then they could change the mask to be a different character. That's what a hypocrite was. And he says, look, on the outside, you look really, really good. But on the inside, it's not the way. You're just wearing a mask. You're missing the contents. And then he said this about them. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honors me with their lips? They say the right thing. They say the right thing. They sound good. The container is good. But their heart is far from me. They don't love me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. He says, you're missing the mark. You're not quite doing that. And that's a tough thing, but just a reminder, right, that the main thing is to love God, to love God. That's hard for some of us, isn't it? It can be hard to love God sometimes because we can't see him. And And sometimes we get so focused on the container, we forget about the God who created it. And we get so wrapped up in the things around that we go, I don't even remember who God is, or I've lost touch with him, or I don't approach him like that anymore. I forget to love. And so it's a call back to what is the essence. It's a loving of God. The other day I was reading Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. I don't know if you've been in that study. It's something we've asked people to do over the years. And in it, they were talking a story about how Henry Blackaby was in a church business meeting, which already for some of you, it's going like, that's like the worst thing in the world. I could be part of a business meeting at the church. I hate that. And so they were having this argument about something, and this one guy just basically says, I quit, and he walked out. And so Henry Blackaby gave him a little bit of time to, you know, kind of settle, and he went to go visit him. And they talked about the meeting and what had happened, and they brought up some things and brought up some excuses. And then Henry Blackaby looked at him and said, can I ask you a question? He says, do you love God? Has anybody ever asked you that before? Do you love God? And the guy said, well, I can say I obey God, I serve God, I don't know, I pray to God, but I don't think I can say I love God. And he goes, why do you think that's true? And he goes, well, when I was growing up, my dad never said anything positive to me. He always tore me down. He always was like pushing me or driving me forward, or everything wasn't right, or nothing was good enough. And he said, I guess I've just transferred the way I saw my father to the way I see God. And Henry Blackaby says, do you know how much God loves you? Can we just talk about that? I mean, we just sang a song, How Great Is Your Love? How great is your love? I mean, do we really stop and think about all that God has done for us? We're alive. We're provided for. He sent his son to die for us. He went on the cross. Right? He loves us this much. He shows us mercy and grace. He thinks about us all the time. And he says, I love you so much. You're the center of everything I've created, and I'm just asking you to love me back. So the man's listening to this, and so Henry Blackaby says, let me tell you the story of Hosea. Do you guys know the story of Hosea? This is something to read when you're just like looking for something to read in the Bible. Hosea's story is so powerful. God came to the prophet Hosea and says, look, I want your life to be an illustration. Like, I want your life to be an illustration. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go find Gomer, not Gomer Pyle, okay? Different Gomer. I want you to go find this lady named Gomer, and she's kind of run her life in the wrong direction, and she's gotten into some stuff, and she's loving a lot of people that she shouldn't love and giving her life to them. I want you to go marry her. Wow. would you want that job as a prophet? God, no thank you. I'll take another job. But go marry her. And so he brought her into his house, and he loved her, and he took care of her, and he watched out over her, and he gave her like all of his affection and all his love. And she lived in that, and she was safe, and she was protected. And then one day she decided, I'd rather go out and do my old life. And so she went back out there, and she began to sell herself and degrade herself. And God came to Hosea and said, go bring her back. Go bring her back. And I'm sure Hosea must have argued with God, right? God, I don't want to go bring her back. Look what she did. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's just too much for me. Go bring her back. And so he redeems her. He buys her back and brings her home and loves her. And God says, that's how much I love you. That's how much I love you. That's what I would do for you. You wander, I'll bring you back. It's about love. That's the container is what we see on the outside, but it's the love on the inside that God feels toward us. And he says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love me back because I loved you first. And that's what Jesus was telling them. Like, what's the most important thing? The most important thing is to love the God who loves you. And then Jesus adds something. I love Jesus. He's like, you asked me for one, you're getting double your money. Because he goes on, going back to the scribe, he says this. Second is like this, you shall love your neighbors yourself. There are no other commandment greater than these two. You ask for one, I'm going to give you two. He says, okay, you want to know what's in the container? Love God, but I'm going to add one. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's simply Leviticus 19, verse 16. It's 8 times in the Bible. It's repeated over and over. And God's a great teacher, right? What do you do when you're a great teacher? You repeat things till you get it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And you go, what does that mean? How do you want to be loved? How do you want to be loved? I want to be accepted for who I am. That's how I want to be loved. I want to be encouraged. I bet you want to be encouraged. I love when people like drop a surprise on me, like here's a cool thing that you might enjoy. When someone serves me, I think that's great. When someone includes me, when someone is loyal, when I'm down, someone just is there. That's how I want to be loved. How about you? Jesus said, what I want you to do is just love people the way you want to be loved. And that's a key thing. Put that in the bottle too. Just make it love for God and make it love for other people. That's what I want you to do. That's what love is. That's what can't change. The container may change, but loving God, loving others is so key. Go back to the story and continue on. I love what happens next. The scribe said to Jesus, you're right, teacher. Can you imagine going to Jesus? Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's Jesus. Of course he's right. You're right. And it's such a big thing he's doing for Jesus, right? I agree with you. You're right. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. You have the answer I would have given. That's good, Jesus. And to love him continues on, to love him with all the heart. I think we have that. There we go. Can we switch that one? I think it's that. And with all understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as yourself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Because you get it. You get it, Jesus. Which, again, I'm sure Jesus is going, thank you. I'm glad you agree with me, you know. But that's who this guy is. But Jesus, because he loves him, he said this. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You almost got it. You're almost there. You're this close. And after that, no one dared ask him any questions. He said, this is what's important. It's this. This is what's important. Love. Love God. Love people. Do that, and you're good. You're good. When Jesus was with his disciples near the end of his life, he pulled them around to give them another pep talk, right? He had them up in the upper room. He says, let me tell you one more thing. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, he says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And then he says this, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Doctrine's important. Teaching's important. Knowing the scriptures is extremely important. Jesus did not say that people will know you're a follower of Jesus because how well you know the Bible. He didn't say that because the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew the Bible, the Old Testament, better than most of us in the room. They didn't love, though. He didn't say they're going to know you're a follower of Jesus because of the clothes you wear. They didn't say you're going to know you're a follower of Jesus because of the bumper sticker on your car. They're not going to know you're a follower of Jesus because of the church you go to. They will not know you're a follower of Jesus because you listen to worship all day long. They will know you're a follower of Jesus because you love people. You love one another. It's that simple. It's so easy to overlook because we get so focused on the container, we forget about what's on the inside. What's on the inside is love. And I know this is simple. I know this is easy. But I think we forget. And one of the reasons we're doing this series right now is we're trying to remember, what does it mean to be the church? It means to be a place that loves God and loves people. In our vision statement, it's very, very simple. If you've been around for a while, you know this. It's three phrases. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love others. And we have on the end, serve the world. Because when another guy came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, tell me, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you tell me. You read the scriptures, you tell me. And he must have heard Jesus before because he said, well, I see it in the scriptures that you're supposed to love God. Yep. And you're supposed to love your neighbor yourself. Yeah, I got that. And then he goes to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And you remember how he answered. Remember how Jesus answered, right? The Good Samaritan story. Who's my neighbor? Well, there's a story I want to tell you. This guy was going down a road, and he got mugged. He got robbed. He was left for dead. And two religious guys come up, a priest and a Levite. They walk by. They're all dressed up. They're all ready. They're all clean. And they walk around the guy because they were more concerned about the container than they were about their hearts. And they walked around him. And they kept going, and it sounds like they had no remorse whatsoever. And then there's a Samaritan that comes around that most people would have looked at him and said, on the outside, he's got the wrong container, but on the inside, he had the right stuff in his heart. And he stopped and helped the guy. And he bandaged him up. He got him up on his donkey, took him to a place. He made sure he was taken care of. And Jesus said, that is the guy. And he said to the guy, go and do likewise. Go and live that out. Love. So when we look at what does it mean to be a church? What does it mean to be Bridges Church? It means, don't look at the building, right? Don't focus on the building. Don't worry about what the color carpet is, which we've never had a fight over. I'm so glad. Have you ever been at a church where they fought about the color of the carpet? We've never had that fight because we didn't own a building until 2 years ago. Then COVID moved us all out, and we didn't have a carpet. And we go, what's really important? It's not the color of the carpet. It's not what we're sitting in. It's not the building. It's not the container. It's love. Loving for God and loving people in the way he's called us to do it. So that's who Bridges is going to be. We don't do it perfectly. We certainly have a lot of room to grow, but that's who we want to be. And I hope that's who you want to be too. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love. Our love is so small. We're just learning how to love on this planet. Your love is immense. It's infinite. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to do anything more. We can just sit here in the understanding that you love us because you created us. And I thank you that you loved us enough to send your son to die for us on the cross. I thank you that you love us enough to know our thoughts. You know who we are. I pray for our hearts to be filled with love for you, Father. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to grow in that love. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us to be a place of love. Thank you for the gospel that Jesus came because of your love. You sent him into a broken world, and he came and demonstrated how much he loved us by laying down his life for us. And I pray we'll do the same. May this place bring glory to the name of Jesus. May us as a people bring glory to the name of Jesus because of our love for him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. And Bridges, one of the things we do every week is we stop for communion. We have communion each week, and we have it up on the table. It's open to anyone that has a relationship with Jesus. And we do that to remember him, to remember his sacrifice and his willingness to go the full mile to show us love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John the Apostle writes this. He says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We didn't love first. God loved first. He loved us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son to take away our sins. That's love. So as you eat the bread and you drink the juice, be reminded of his love for you and his love for me and his love for a broken world. After I pray, you're welcome to come up, get the elements, return to your seat, and just sit and remind yourself that God loves you. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment of communion, it's a reminder of who you are and what you're doing and what you have done. The biggest reminder is of Jesus, that he loves us so much that he died for us. He took away our sins, though we deserve nothing. Or if we did deserve anything, we deserve death. And yet, out of your love, you gave us life. And out of that life, we return to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Come receive communion.